Hi, I'm Spencer.
And I'm Blake.
And you're about to get jumped.
Welcome to episode 11 of Blake and Spencer Get Jumped, a weekly podcast where we watch the anime so you don't have to.
But you should still totally watch anime.
This week on Get Jumped, we are returning to One Punch Man with the introduction of the Heroes Association.
Yeah, it's actually a place where you go to get hero subs. You have to apply for one of those punch cards. It's not a really difficult subject, and once you get to 8, you get a free sub.
So One Punch Man is about a punch card for a sandwich shop?
Yeah, well, he's got one punch now, but he's moving towards having 8 so he can get a free sub.
This doesn't sound right.
Whatever, let's just jump in. So this is episode 11. Yeah. Blake and I.
I forgot to update that at the beginning. I don't know if you saw that. It said 10, but I said 11. You see how smart I am?
Well, we were chatting a little bit about like what's going on, and we were talking about social media a little while earlier. And shout outs to this random guy on Twitter who I guess listens to our show. We don't know you yet, but thank you for listening.
Yeah.
Thank you for shouting out to us.
I think he's...
It, like literally made our week.
Yeah, we were both super excited. We, like, immediately texted each other. Like, I saw that on Twitter and then, like, saw that I had a text message from Spencer and he had already messaged me about it. It was great. And I'm pretty sure this is our first, like, genuine Twitter shout-out. Like, we've had people like or repost our... memes of the day, but I don't know that we've actually gotten like legitimate Twitter shout outs from anybody.
I don't know, but it's super sweet, and I'm super excited. So shout out to you, bro, who's apparently in like England somewhere.
Yeah, his name is Ben Diamond, at least according to Twitter. Which is a great name. It sounds like a fictional character, but his love for us is real.
Yeah, it sounds like it could either be an alter ego or his superhero name.
Well, he's British, so are they all James Bond style secret agents over there? Is that how that works?
Oh my god, I have to talk to you about the fact that they had this long conversation on Nerdist recently about how all the James Bonds are just Time Lords. So they die, and then they, like, regenerate into the new actor that plays the James Bond. And I'm like, not only do I believe that, but I'm so happy with that fan theory.
Yeah.
I want it to be true so badly.
It makes so much sense. Also, I gotta say, I don't have, a ton of experience with the James Bond series, like, as a whole. But I think that Daniel Craig is just great.
Yeah, he's a pretty, like, he has, like a, I don't know, a really angry face to him. But then he plays, like, comedy stuff. Have you seen Logan Lucky yet?
No, I haven't. I've heard so many good things.
It is fantastic. And he is great in it. He plays, like, a southern character. And, like... It's a little bit frustrating to me because the person with the best southern accent is the British guy.
Well, I don't know. I think that British people are like better at accents than American people. I'm being prejudiced right now. But like, yeah. I don't know. I went to this film acting conservatory back in the summer of 2007. And one of the people in my group was a British girl. And she could, like, instantaneously turn on, like, a perfect American accent. And this was not true for any of us turning on a British accent. Like, some of us had an okay one, but it was, like, okay, but, like, we couldn't pass. Whereas, like, her American accent was perfect. And...
Okay, but here's the thing that you...
I think they're all secret agent people with accent powers, is what I'm getting at.
So... Here's the thing, though. You attended this school inside of the United States, and this person was coming from another country to the United States to attend this school. So this person was immersed in American, like, culture, and as opposed to, like, us going to their country and suddenly be immersed in British culture and trying to pick up a dialect. Because when I was in Scotland, I swear I was getting better and better at, like, impersonating the accents, like, trying not to, but when you're around them for long enough that you start just, like, start picking it up. But as soon as I, like, got home, I couldn't do it anymore.
That's maybe a true thing, like, a little bit, because, like, when my parents visit, I get kind of a southern accent. And I don't even know that it's, like, an accent necessarily, but, like, I'm just lazier with my speech and a little bit quicker, and I think that that yields a southern accent sometimes, because a lot of accents are just, like, how do you, like, truncate words? And so my default truncation is southern. I'm from the South. We're both from the South, actually. Neither of us live there now. But we're both from... Well, I was going to say we're both from Tennessee, but not really.
Well, I'm from Mississippi originally.
Yeah, but, like, on the border and, like, spent a lot of time in Tennessee, which is why I almost said that.
Yeah. It's weird to say on the border, too, because it just sounds like I live on a border town between a third world country and, like, a... I don't know, I guess...
Are we going to have to talk about Mississippi, like, right now?
Let's not.
Let's find another section of our already limited listener base to alienate.
No, Mississippi's not bad. It's just, I was mostly talking about how weird it is to, like, say border when you're talking about, like, two states, because it always makes me think about, like, you know, between one country and another country.
Yeah, so. Which I guess, like, I mean, state... Outside of America, countries are more commonly known as states, because those are, like, technically interchangeable words.
I hope I'm not super wrong. To a podcast about anime.
Oh, shit. Are we supposed to be talking about anime right now?
Welcome to Statecast, where we talk about states.
We're just 50 episodes.
I said Statecast, by the way, but I...
Over 50 weeks.
This podcast already exists. You know it's true.
It probably
somebody
exists.
Has a podcast about states.
There's probably and they were just at like, least this... three, and only one of them is successful, but like not the best one.
And they were like, "This is going to be the best show ever."
How cool would that be though? Like, if you could do a podcast like that, and you could just like go to all 50 states, like you could get like I don't know one of those things that's like a podcast collective or whatever, and they just like. Funded you to go to all the different states, so like each week you're like in a different state and you're like
did you say a podcast collective?
Yeah, like Maximum Fun is the one that I know of because my friends on Minority Corner are a part of Maximum Fun, which I guess I kept telling them I was going to give them a shout out on our podcast, so shit, I guess this is happening right now. You guys should listen to Minority Corner. It's an excellent podcast where they talk about social issues related to being some sort of minority, and they're hilarious and awesome now that they're people.
And now that they're hearing this shout out, please shout out about us.
Yeah. Also, I'm supposed to send them something so they can advertise about our show.
Oh, we'll do that already.
Yeah, I need to do that. But they're on Maximum Fun, and it's like a podcast collective. I don't know if they only do podcasts, but they have like lots of podcasts, and each podcast has like advertisements for the other podcasts that are part of Maximum Fun. And every year during segments of the year, they do like a pledge drive or whatever. And I assume that the pledge drive goes to Maximum Fun and then is like redistributed to the podcasts according to some algorithm, or maybe it's distributed equally or something. And
this is a weird thing to be talking about right now.
Well, it's like a, you know, we're like trying to do the Patreon thing. This is like a different funding model, but it's done through like a collective. Anyway, so we should do a different podcast in addition to this one, where we are paid to travel to all the different states and then talk about it. If you're listening, call me.
Anyways, we have episodes this week, I swear.
Oh,
that
my
we
God.
Do.
Yeah, we're supposed to talk about something that other than what we were talking about right now, right?
Yeah. First of all, I just want to throw down on here I'm going to be posting something really soon. You're going to be hearing this on Sunday. We recorded this on Wednesday, which is right now in the world.
Right after Labor Day. It does not feel like Wednesday, but you're right.
Yeah, Portland's on fire, and there's a convention that's coming up inside of the city. So I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there on Saturday. I'm going
like
to
next Saturday,
try...
like as you're listening to this right now, this coming Saturday. So like
it is already passed. It is already passed when they're listening to
this. This is Gen Con over again. We should have talked about this last week. We're going to get better at this.
I did talk about it. I swear. Anyways,
well, I don't listen when you're talking.
So Rose City Comic Con, I'm going to it this weekend, and I'm gonna record some things while I'm there, like videotape some things, and then we're gonna start posting videos. I have a video that I'm gonna be putting up that Blake took at Gen Con.
Yeah, who knows what it's gonna be.
And then, I'm gonna be posting stuff about this con that I'm gonna be going to, and then we're gonna be working on video content as well. Because I got a great bunch of suggestions from a fantastic video maker.
Super
Blake is a
Wolf.
Much bigger fan than, Blake is a much bigger fan than I am,
I'm a huge
but
fan.
I am still a fan.
I think I introduced you to him, and then I didn't even know that you were like watching his videos until I saw that you were having this Twitter conversation with him. And then I was super jealous that you were having a Twitter conversation with him because I have like, kind of a small crush on him, and I wanted to talk to him, but I was like, I can't like butt in here on the same account and be like, hey, I'm the other one, and let's chit chat about your personal interests.
But he gave us a lot of really fantastic advice about like what to do and how to move forward as like a podcast and as like people that generate anime content. I'm throwing in like a free plug in here because I don't know if he listens to this, but if he does, you're a badass, and people should watch his videos.
Yeah, your videos are incredible.
To his Patreon.
He also has a podcast about like different boss fights or something like that. He's mentioned it on a few of his recent videos. I don't know. Just go watch his videos, and he'll tell you about it.
Yeah, he makes great, great content.
Yeah,
including one of his episodes where he talks about Hunter x Hunter.
Yeah, that's
which
true.
Is fantastic.
And I think he calls it Hunter X Hunter instead of Hunter Hunter. I don't know. Jury's still out on that one.
Earlier, to relive Blake's shame, he called it Hunter Hunter.
Uh-uh.
And I literally almost hung up the phone on him because I was so outraged.
This is not something that we need to discuss in public.
You did this. You brought shame upon our house.
Can I just change the subject really quickly and talk about how I love that you were like, well, we have an anime to talk about, so before that, and then went on this entire other tangent, and so far, we're like 15 minutes into this episode, and we have accomplished talking about two other podcasts, a YouTube channel, several conventions. Like, we've basically been pimping everybody's shit but ours.
Okay, we'll get back to it.
Okay. What?
So what we're talking about this week
is One Punch Man.
Yeah. And Blake's going to give us a recap.
Yeah. So recently in One Punch Man, there's Saitama. He's our main character. He is a bald, unassuming, crazy strong guy who has the ability to defeat anybody in a single punch. He spends his free time being a hero just for fun, but otherwise kind of lives a sleepy, boring life. He was approached by Genos, who is a cyborg kid, who decided that Saitama was super strong, and he wanted Saitama to teach him how to be stronger. Genos and Saitama have been fighting various battles around town, one of which was against the House of Evolution. If you want to hear about that, go back and listen to our last episode about One Punch Man, which was episode number 7, Motorcycles and Mandolins, and we'll tell you all about it. Other than that, they finished the last episode by approaching the Heroes Association. They have been sort of, I guess you could say, freelancing. They just kind of find trouble and resolve it. Now they're going to do it in a more official way, and that brings us up to the present. And
yeah.
Also, I really enjoyed this week's episodes, not just because they're excellent episodes, because they all are with One Punch Man, but also because this is the very first time in our podcast that I have watched episodes that I had not previously seen. These were both new to me, yeah. And I really, really enjoyed them.
Yeah, so we're in episode 5.
It's the ultimate mentor. You've learned
Up to this point, you've learned a little bit about who Saitama is. You've learned about a little bit who Genos is. And then you've learned a little bit about what's going on inside of this world. There's been like a couple of times where they've talked about these different like hero organizations.
Yeah.
But this is where we turn the corner. So the rest of the show really, really has to do with Saitama and his relationship to the hero organization, which is this like multi-country organization that runs all the heroes in the world.
Yeah, it seems really cool. Again, I don't know how this plays out, so I only have the information that I've gained from this episode, but it does seem like it controls a lot of the world, or is kind of a world government-y, not necessarily the only thing in charge, but definitely involved with things in charge. It seems like a big deal, and up until this point, it's been mentioned, and there's been like a little bit of world building around it, but it seems like a lot of the sort of hinted at pieces really started to fall into place in these episodes.
So we start up on the board members of the hero organization. They're having a couple of conversations. One of them is going to be around Moomin Rider.
Yeah, I love it, because it's so great. Like, Moomin Rider doesn't really show up in these episodes, but if you remember from the previous episodes, or if you were not around, Moomin Rider is a hero who is basically just a guy on a bicycle. Like,
yeah.
Just a dude.
He's wearing a lot of padding.
Yeah, he was seen previously attempting to stop those guys. I can't remember their organization's name right now, but all of the bald guys that were led by Hammerhead, they were causing mayhem. Moomin Rider stepped in to stop them and was promptly knocked unconscious. And then after Saitama resolved the conflict, Moomin Rider was given the credit. So that's about all we know about him. And in the start of the episode, the board members of the Hero Association are talking about how Moomin Rider could move up from a C rank to a B rank hero, but doesn't seem to have any desire to.
Yeah,
we'll talk about the ranks a little bit later, but this actually came up in one of our, maybe the very first Naruto episode. Things are ranked in the Hunter Association, that the sort of level of hero that you are is ranked very similar to the mission difficulty in Naruto, which is to say, I think it starts at C here. It seems like C is the lowest instead of D. I'm not sure. There may be D level heroes. I don't remember them mentioning it. So there's definitely C level, then B level, then A level, and then the top level is S rank. So,
for super duper.
Yeah. Again, we talked about this previously. I believe it was our first Naruto episode, but I'm not 100% sure. It was definitely one of the earlier Naruto episodes. We discussed this a little bit more at length, but this is a sort of a Japanese thing. It shows up in a lot of anime when you're ranking things. The best is S, and then it goes from A on through the alphabet, usually down to D or E. Weird.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Cool. So they're talking about Genos, who's going to be coming to take the exam, and they're excited about this.
Yeah, this at least one of them was the guy that was at the end of the episode for the House of Evolution. If you remember, again, this is in our previous One Punch Man episode, if you want to listen to the full coverage, but Genos destroys the above ground section of the House of Evolution, and then at the end of the episode's post credits, we see some dudes in suits kind of picking through it and looking at like a picture of Genos. So they've been aware of him. Yeah. It turns out they were from the Hunters Association.
Yeah. The next thing that happens inside of the episode is that you get the first introduction of Saitama inside of this exam. He's walking around. He's sort of not taking it seriously.
Saitama is going through a couple of different hurdles, not literally, but like there's a punching bag and there's like a how high can you jump. And at each challenge, he is just destroying it, like vastly exceeding. There are other people that are competing, and he is just absolutely in a completely different league, like maybe more than one league separated from them, and how much he's achieving this. And he's just shown demolishing these things, like the punching bag. He punches it and it is seen to be laying in a separate room through a hole in the wall that was caused by it flying through. Like, he is incredibly powerful, incredibly fast. Like, at literally every physical challenge, he cannot be beat. And my favorite one is the jumping. They're like, just jump as high as you can. And he jumps and you just see his head smash into the ceiling. And then he just hangs there for a second, like his head is stuck and maybe he was knocked unconscious. And it's so funny.
Yeah. So the thing that gets me about this, though, is that, like, Genos is passed on with like an S ranking.
Yeah.
You know, but
yeah, he got, which is the best one.
Is only class C because no one's heard of him before.
Yeah, they talk about this a little bit where they basically the hero exam, which is this confused me so much this week when I was typing up my notes because I kept wanting to write Hunter exam because we're like literally in Hunter x Hunter we're going through the Hunter exam right now, and I was like, oh, Hunter exam, hero exam. I was getting very confused. So in the hero exam, there's two different phases. This is a lot easier than the hunter exam. And the two phases in the hero exam are a physical challenge where they just kind of test your aptitude. And that's the one that we were just talking about with Saitama. The other one is a written exam. So Genos sort of mentions how easy the written exam was for him. And he pulls out his results and finds out that he's a class S hero, which is the best class you can be. And Genos asks Saitama about the interview round, which, again, was not one of the two phases of the Hunter exam. And Saitama's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And we kind of flash back to the interview round that Genos is mentioning. And he's being interviewed by these dudes in suits that we saw earlier. And they're asking him if he was the person who destroyed the House of Evolution. And he confirms. And you kind of see that, like, when he confirms that, they write down that he should be a class S. So it's a little unclear, are they, like, fudging the numbers, or did he sort of, like, earn this preemptively in their minds? And they'll talk about this a little bit later, but it is going to remain a little bit vague.
Yeah. Well, Genos then notes that they're going to be known around the world.
Did you mention, too, that Saitama is not a class S hero?
Yeah, I said he was class C.
Right, yeah, and that is specifically because he did not do well on the written exam. Like, he did super well on the physical exam. He got a perfect score, but he did terribly on the written exam.
Yeah, because, like, Saitama, not only doesn't care, but he sort of just sounds like kind of like a moron.
Yeah, sometimes. I don't think that he's stupid. I just think he's kind of simple. And that might sound like a distinction without a difference, but he's just like, he doesn't necessarily know a lot, and he's kind of chill with that. Like, he's not an idiot. There are idiotic main characters. I would say that Naruto is an idiotic main character. He grows out of it, but he's kind of a moron. He's a well-intentioned, but he's actually stupid. Whereas Saitama's not stupid, he's just a little uneducated, and he's not particularly motivated to change that.
Yeah. So we come out of that to Genos basically saying to Saitama, now you have to take me on as a disciple officially.
Right.
Because he
people know us.
You know, yeah, and also Saitama is having second thoughts about agreeing to Genos at all.
Yeah, yeah.
Immediately is just like, I've made a mistake.
Yeah, it's hilarious. Like, it is no hesitation. Like, Genos is like, I guess that means that you're officially my master now. And Saitama just kind of, like, unthinkingly responds in the affirmative. And then immediately is like, maybe I shouldn't have said that so quickly. So you see Saitama and Genos in a class with this guy that we will learn is named Snek, S-N-E-K. And he's a teacher with an A rank, which is interesting because it basically shows that he is a high-level hero, but hilariously enough, not as high a level as Genos. He kind of does like a little song and dance where he like jumps up on the table and does a couple of karate moves and is basically like trying to be skilled and intimidating so that they don't take the like training and learning how to be a hero lightly. And they're both sort of not paying much attention, especially Saitama, who's thinking about dinner. So Sneck has been kind of wounded in his pride, and we see him a little bit later. He's talking to one of these dudes in the suit, and they tell him that that Saitama admittedly did not do very well on his written exam, but he passed the hunter exam. Geez, he passed the hero exam because of a perfect score in the physical test. And in fact, he broke literally every record that the Academy had on the books for the physical exam.
Yeah. So Sneck takes on Saitama, which seems like a terrible, terrible idea.
Yeah, it's not, it's not a good choice.
Yeah. And Saitama literally beats him so fast that you just don't even see it happen.
Right. Like the screen fades to black and the dude's just on the ground.
Yeah. So the next thing that they talk about a little bit is I think Genos is sort of getting in the spirit of being a hero, and he talks to Saitama about the fact that they need to get hero names, and in order to get like hero names, they have to come up with them, and this is all so that they can have better fan clubs.
No,
and
it's Saitama, not that they'll come up with their names. It's that names will be eventually ascribed to them as they do more hero deeds and gain popularity. So like people will start to recognize them, and then people will attribute names to them based on different things that describe them or their powers or their deeds.
Yeah. Saitama is completely not into this. He does not care about having people that are interested in him.
What are you
he
talking about? Genos doesn't care, and Saitama is super excited.
Oh, sorry, I flipped him around.
Yeah, Genos like Genos knows all of this stuff, but he finds it totally boring. And Saitama, he doesn't say it, but it's like super obvious. He is really into the idea of fans, and he's a little miffed that Genos is not.
Well, I think that's the big deal with that is that Saitama, like, I think Saitama wants to be a hero and care, you know, he sort of cares that people, like, know him and want to be protected by him. Yeah. But at the end of the day, he just can't be bothered to actually do anything. So it's just like, it's sort of like a catch-22 of his character that he's so interested in this. And he just doesn't, I don't know. He doesn't really do anything about it. And he also has, like, this little, like, he doesn't have any pride about himself, sort of. Like, we'll get on this in, like, later episodes when Saitama is, like, being put down. And he's like, it doesn't matter how much they put me down as long as I'm doing something good. And I think that makes him, like, such a more valued main character. Anyways, back to the present.
Whatever. So they're in a Dragon Ball Z style wasteland where it's just sort of rock and sand and desert and giant outcroppings of stone and definitely no other people or buildings or anything else or like vegetation of any kind. And they are there to spar because now Genos is an official trainee of Saitama's. And so this is a beautifully animated fight. One of the more beautifully animated combat sequences of the entire show. Like, I would put this up there close to the Carnage Kabuto fight, which is still my favorite one.
You haven't gotten to the best fight in the show.
Well, I mean, give me time.
This one is definitely fantastic.
It's excellent.
I would rank this one, in my opinion, higher than the Carnage Kabuto one. Just because of how much Saitama actually respects Genos.
Yeah.
So he's actually giving him the time of day. Genos keeps on escalating his, like, power level every time keeps, like, that he, like, does something.
He keeps popping out more guns and stuff from his hands. Yeah. So he keeps on Genos stepping it up
higher and higher and higher.
Yeah, Genos' whole thing is that he shoots giant blasts of flame from his hand because he's a cyborg. And so he has these huge reserves of firepower or whatever. And so he's taking on Saitama and he's just launching this indomitable flurry of assaults against Saitama with increasing explosions of fire. But each time he either sees Saitama dodge or he thinks he's got him, but every time Saitama has just moved out of the way. And so Genos launches this like super ultra burst of fire and he's like, yeah, I think I got him. And Saitama just like taps him on the back of the head and he's like, tag, like, I gotcha, so yeah, we're done. And Genos is like,
Genos is,
no, go
take
ahead.
Take me seriously.
Yeah.
He says it. He's like, I'm never gonna learn unless you actually take me seriously. And he then goes into a little bit more of a spar with Saitama. Saitama spins around, punches towards him, and then stops. And
from his face.
Yeah, and he, like, you see this blast of, like, you know, everything that goes around Genos, and he's like, then he just thumps Genos on the head, and he's just like, let's go get something to eat. And Genos is like, oh my god, that would have killed me. And you see a giant hole behind him that's just been destroyed.
Yeah, like, he pulled his punch, but it was so powerful that it just decimated the landscape behind Genos. It's an awesome moment, like... It kind of made me giddy a little bit. Like, it's one of those, you know, like, the reason that you love shonen anime, not, like, the only reason necessarily, but definitely one of the things to love about shonen anime are just these, like, full-on badass moments that just kind of get your adrenaline pumping. You know, those great action sequences and those great heroic moments or those moments of just, like, this is so cool. And this was just one of the quintessential moments of that. It was just awesome and it was great. It's like a perfect shonen anime moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. This next part sort of like it kind of weirds me out.
And the I end of the episode just kind of meanders around a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. I sort of like wondered about the end of this episode and I was like, this must have happened inside of the, like, the manga, and they had to, like, connect it somewhere.
Yeah, well, it
feels very much like a moving the plot scene instead of something that, you know, really should be there.
Yeah, absolutely. It is definitely a little bit of a plot advancement and a little bit of world building in an episode that has largely been about something else. It's not completely disconnected, like... This whole episode is about, like, they have taken the hero exam and they are now heroes. And this has sort of, like, set expectations for the future. And this is about that, but it still sort of feels a little disconnected from the rest of the episode. So, technically, a little bit earlier in the episode, we did a cutaway to this guy with long blue hair. And he's kind of a slighter dude with long hair. And it's blue. And he is told,
he's obnoxious.
Right. He's told by one of these guys in suits that Genos has taken the exam and that he has passed and that they made an exception and put him in S class. And it's a little unclear if they're saying like I couldn't tell if they made an exception just because Genos is exceptional or if they made an exception because there's some sort of plot going on that requires Genos to be arbitrarily placed higher than he would have otherwise been.
Mm-hmm. I like that you haven't seen the rest of the show, so you don't know what's happening here.
Yeah, it reads a little bit like a nefarious plot, but it could also be relatively nothing. I assume that there's something to it because they keep bringing it up, but I don't know.
Then we have the credits, and after the post-credits,
Wait, there's a whole scene that we skipped. There's Amaima. So the blue-haired guy is Amai Mask, and he is the top-ranked A-class hero. So he's one step below Genos on the ladder. And so Genos and Saitama...
Why do you think that happened in the next episode?
I don't know. My notes are right here. Read the notes. But so Genos and Saitama, they're at an udon noodle place, and they're just eating. And then... Amai Mask shows up and starts talking to Genos and kind of ignoring Saitama. And they go outside while Saitama keeps eating, and Amai Mask is like welcoming him to the Hero Association, but it feels kind of sinister, like a welcome that's actually a threat. And Genos is like not necessarily picking up on that, but he's like, he basically tells Amai Mask that he is doing this because Saitama wanted to, and that he's not invested in it, and he feels like it's kind of a waste of time. And Amai Mask clearly takes offense to this and warns him not to be too hot-headed or he'll get burned. And it's very portentous, but it does not come to anything in the next episode, so I don't really know where it's going.
Yeah. I wanted to talk about this after the credit scene.
Yeah, this is excellent.
It advances the plot, however...
It's hilarious.
It's just comedy.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, Saitama is like in his apartment and Genos comes over and he's like, Genos is like, I have to move in with you. And Saitama's like, no. And he's like, I'll pay rent money. And he's like, okay, move in.
Yeah, it's awesome. So.
It happens so fast. It feels like just like they wrote a joke at the end of an episode.
Yeah, it's hilarious. And it's such a good scene. And it's like 2 seconds at the end of the credits, but it's so good. And I would say that that's episode 5, and it's like maybe a slower episode than the other ones have been. It felt like kind of a lull in the story almost, because it shifts out of the sort of breakneck pace of like 2 or even 3 stories per episode kind of strung together with a theme. Or
that fight is so badass.
Yeah, the fight is so good, and the world building is good. It's just a slower pace than the previous episodes. I would definitely say check out that fight if you don't want to watch anything else, but you're able to like get to YouTube or something. Check out the fight. It's really good. It's beautifully animated. It's definitely worth watching. But as always, if you can, you should be watching the show because it's awesome.
Yeah. So here we go into episode 6. It's called The Terrifying City.
Yeah.
Saitama is having a little bit of a hard time right now because Genos, I don't know.
Genos is really, he is intense. Genos is the guy who wants to study all the time and is always on and is really, really singularly focused on his mission. And Saitama is a dude who is strong because he's dedicated and kind of just wants to live his life and be relaxed and enjoy himself. And they are super opposites.
Yeah. And Saitama is just like, look, stop bothering me sort of thing. But now Genos lives in his house. So it's just like, he's there all the time to annoy him. And Genos is like, you have to do something because you have to do heroic acts in order to stay on the Hero Registry because you made us join it. And so, like, if you want to stay on it, you have to do heroic things.
Yeah, and Saitama is, he's at a total loss of what to tell Genos as far as, like, direction. And he kind of looks around the room and tries to sort of come up with stuff off the top of his head. But what he's saying is super generic, and it makes him feel embarrassed. So Genos tells him that he's got to go out and do heroic deeds. And this is a complete shock to him. He did not realize that this sort of required continued buy-in from him, and Genos is like, it's cool, we'll go out together. And Saitama's like, no, you're an S-ranked hero, like anything that I do is going to be attributed to you. If we go together, you can't go with me. And Genos is not really hearing it, so Saitama's like, listen, here's the deal. For your training as my student, what you've got to do is you have to become one of the top 10 heroes. Like, you're in S rank already, but you've got to get into the top 10. And until you do that, I can't help you. So Genos is like, yeah, I'll do it. And Saitama gets him off his back, and he goes to look for heroic deeds.
Yeah. So Saitama goes into town. He's looking for a way to be heroic. It feels a little bit cartoony because he's just like, you know, wandering around the streets.
Yeah.
It reminded me of, like, we did this show called Tenants. There's an episode where Blake is, like, wandering around just going, like, jobs.
Yeah.
Just asking for jobs.
I gotta say, and of all Saitama, the episodes to talk about. And Tenants Saitama, is great. You guys should go watch it.
Yeah. So Saitama's just kind of like walking around doing that sort of thing, where he's like looking around for places to be heroic but can't really find them. And he stumbles upon Sonic the Hedgehog, right?
Yeah. Right? That's Sonic the Hedgehog is back. His full name is Speed of Sound Sonic, and he's technically a human that's a ninja and not a blue hedgehog. Although his hair is kind of blue. It's like that.
Yeah.
It's like when you draw people with dark black hair and then you draw the highlights with blue, so it kind of looks like they might be blue and it kind of looks like they might be black. Which, if I can just go on a tangent here for a second, I think that this is really interesting. And I learned this from the Explains the X-Men podcast. But Beast from the X-Men, he's, you know, the big blue furry guy. He was actually originally drawn as dark gray or black. And then the deal is, like we were saying, a lot of the times when you have something black, you draw the highlights in blue. Because if you don't draw the highlights, you can't really see what's going on because it's all black and it just looks like a silhouette. So they would draw the highlights in blue. And then over time, like the illustrators and the artists in the comics didn't realize that he was black with blue highlights so that you could see things. And they thought that he was blue with black shadows, and Beast became blue. And that's a fun little anecdote.
Great.
You don't seem interested.
I fell asleep during that.
All right, well, you tell me about what you want to tell me about.
Okay, so Sonic the Hedgehog is attacking against Saitama. You know, he uses a golden ring. I can't talk about this anymore. You're talking terrible. Back to the show. You have Sonic. He's attacking Saitama with his sword. Saitama does a great thing and turns his head and bites down on the sword and breaks it.
It's amazing. Awesome. Yeah, because Saitama has no time for this. Sonic wants a rematch, and Saitama's like, I'm busy. I'm looking for a way to be a hero. And leaves, and Sonic is trying to stop him, and it just does not go well.
Yeah. So Tank Top Tiger, I've forgotten his name.
I love the hero names.
Tank Top Tiger is real dumb, and
he's a guy in a tank top with so stripes. I don't know that he has any powers, but he's a hero.
He definitely doesn't. He's accusing Saitama of frightening people.
Yeah, Saitama's like, he sees Sonic, you shouldn't have been such a jackass because now the heroes are here to stop you. And Tank Top Tiger's like, no, I'm here for you. You've been running around town and making people uncomfortable. And Saitama's like, wait, but I'm a hero too. And Tank Top Tiger's like, well, if that's the case, you need to change how you do things because you're freaking people out, man.
And Saitama at the same time is in a fight that he is not paying attention to with Sonic.
Yeah, Sonic is not done with him, but Saitama stopped paying attention.
Yeah, and Sonic is still attacking Saitama. Saitama just promptly knocks him the hell out, and he keeps on going.
No, he doesn't get knocked out yet. He knocks out Tank Top Tiger first.
Sonic, I forget about that.
Yeah,
part.
So Sonic
just stopped paying attention to Tank Top Tiger as soon as he came about.
Yeah, but it's actually like a really sick fight because Sonic is like, okay, here's what I'm gonna do. I see what the problem is. You won't fight me because you're looking to be heroic. So if I become a villain, you will fight me. So he knocks out Tank Top Tiger by throwing an exploding shuriken into his stomach. Like, it doesn't, like, embed in his stomach and then blow him up. It just, like, hits him and blows up. But it's pretty intense either way. And then Sonic proceeds to, like, start raining explosive shuriken around down on the town. And so Saitama is basically, like, forced to fight him. And Sonic is kind of like, aha, now you finally, like, see me as a rival, like, I've got your attention, and now we can fight, and I can settle this score. And then Saitama just, like, appears behind him and grabs him and just throws him to the ground, and he's out.
Saitama is unfazed.
Yeah, which I gotta say, I was a little, like, I didn't know how that one was gonna resolve itself, because I was like, well, Saitama's thing is that, like, he punches you to death. So I was like, you can't punch him. Like, maybe there will be a problem with him controlling his strength. But no, he just throws him, and it's, he craters him, and he's knocked out, and that's it. It's done.
Yeah. The next thing that we see is Tornado, who's one of my favorite characters.
She's in the intro, but she hasn't shown up until episode 6 out of 12.
Oh, man. I don't know. I don't want to give this away. Do you remember seeing her powers in this episode?
Yeah, she's psychic. She lifts herself up, okay, and she moves things with her mind. She does this, I think, a little bit in the intro, too. But yeah, she's seen glowing and floating around. And she has this green curly hair. It's really cool.
Yeah, nobody really takes her seriously.
I think she's an S-rank hero.
Oh, yeah. She's super, super important inside of their, organization. But, every time people talk in this anime, there's you'll get to this a little bit more in episodes that have Tornado in them and more. But, people don't take her seriously, and, they give her a little bit of shit for being, a little girl. And then terrifying, though.
Because I didn't get the impression that people didn't take her seriously, necessarily. The impression that I got, again, from this being the first and so far only episode that I've seen with her in it, and she's an extremely minor part of it, but I knew that she was relevant from the intro. She is kind of a nuisance, I think, in that, she is a little bit bored and she wants to be involved, but she, it's an organization with different ranks. So, as an S-ranked hero, she's really not needed for, more mundane things. And so, she shows up and they're talking about this investigation that they're doing across all the different cities. And basically, the hero organization wants to do these investigations throughout the cities because they've seen a couple of increasing monster attacks. Sort of over time, the amount of monsters that have been attacking has gone up a little bit, especially in a couple of cities. And Tornado's like, oh, I'll go on an investigation. And they're like, you're an S-ranked hero. This is beneath you. And she's sort of bummed out about it. But basically, that's how it works. So we cut to City Z with two heroes on an investigation.
These heroes are so stupid.
Yeah. And all of the heroes...
Their names are...
go for it.
Their names are so stupid.
Yeah.
Their names are Golden Ball and Spring Mustachio.
Yeah. So Golden Ball has a chin patch, and he looks kind of like, I don't know, sort of hip-hop culture dress or something like that. And then Spring Mustachio is in a tuxedo and has a mustache.
He's also very stupid. This kelp monster.
They're talking they're in City Z, and they talk about the investigation and how City Z has this abandoned section, and there have been rumors about monsters popping up there and taking over, and then they run into a monster.
Yeah. And this thing is immediately terrifying to them. They try to fight it. They're promptly taken care of by the kelp monster.
They're not scared of it at first. They are pretty confident in their hero abilities. And then Golden Ball... God, that is so stupid. Golden Ball, his power seems to be that he has special gold balls that he fires out of a slingshot. And so he shoots it, and then you see it transform into this bullet in midair. It's pretty cool. And it hits it's about to hit the kelp creature, but it knocks the bullet away. And then Gold Ball is kind of surprised because it was going really fast, or it's really dangerous or whatever. And, this has probably never happened before. And then the kelp creature's kelp tentacles reach out and grab him and just sling him around and knock him out. So then Spring Mustachio, he's a sword user. So he pulls out a rapier and starts fending off the seaweed tendrils of this kelp creature. And and he calls for backup on his cell phone while he's fending him off. But you see,
Saitama is walking past. He's walking home.
Yeah, and he just, like, shows up, and these two guys have been knocked out, and backup has not yet arrived. And yeah. Saitama's and just, like, walking through with his groceries.
And then he's like, oh, I forgot Kombu, which is, like,
That's seaweed. The name of the of kelp. Kombu is the Japanese word for kelp.
And he says that, he's like, he, like, thinks about how he forgot it, and then he sees this monster. And then
I think the next he actually thing thinks about it just... after he sees the monster. Like, he sees the monster, and he's like, oh, I should have gotten some.
Oh, yeah. And he kills the monster immediately. I don't even know that you see it, right?
You don't. It's off screen.
You just see the next thing. He's just got a bunch of seaweed.
Yeah, he comes home, or Janos comes home to Saitama, and he's cooking the kelp in like, a boiling pot. And Saitama's like, hey, I got all this kelp. At the market, it was on sale.
Yeah.
So you see the hero organization. They're talking. They're like looking at City Z where this happened, and they're retrieving these two heroes that were knocked out. And they're like, "Oh no, this monster must have been like really powerful. Look at the damage that it did." And you see the one of the buildings next to these guys has been demolished, but you can tell that it was demolished in the same way that the rock outcropping behind Genos was demolished in the last episode. So, like, for us as viewers, we can tell this was from Saitama punching the monster to death, but they think that it was the damage caused by the monster, and they assume that the monster is still at large. And there's a couple of clips of the people from the Hero Association talking about monsters living in that part of the city. And then you see, like, different people in town talking about this rumor that monsters live in this part of the city. And then you see, like, these monsters out in the woods talking about rumors that, like, monsters live in that part of the city. And so there's this, you just get this, like, really cool sequence of this rumor spreading that, like, this part of City Z has been abandoned by people and is being overrun with super powerful monsters. And it's great because basically the episode gives you the impression that this was just a rumor and that it wasn't actually true, but because it was a rumor, it's going to become true.
Yeah.
And I love that.
And then you have a post-credit sequence, which is also hilarious.
Yeah.
Where Genos is finding out about his ranking. And he's apparently ranked number 17. And so, like,
of the S class, you know, heroes. So he's in last place for S ranked heroes, but that is only number 17, which is a small pool of S ranked heroes.
Yeah, and then Saitama finds out that he's ranked number 6 in popularity, though.
Yeah, and Genos just
like, no.
He just starts reading off like different things that people have said that make him popular. Like, oh, he's so cool. He has like great powers, and he doesn't want to give interviews. And like Saitama is just so pissed because Genos is not interested in being popular, and he is. And Saitama just wants to be popular, and he is not.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a great episode.
Yeah,
both of these episodes are great. The show is great. I can't say any more about the show right now.
It's so good. You guys should be watching it, or at least keep listening to us talk about it, because this is a great show. So that's our episode. Those are all of our things. We mentioned our show Tenants. We did a web series called Tenants. If you would like to watch it, you can find it on YouTube. It can be a little bit hard to find it if you just type in Tenants or Tenants series, because there's lots of stuff from like rental agencies out there.
These people were going to be posting the YouTube links for the videos that we're going to start putting out are going to be on the same channel.
So if you're going to be finding our video content going forward, you'll find it on the Forever Summer Productions on YouTube. If you're interested in checking out Tenants, you can find it there as well. So definitely feel free to look us up and subscribe and be looking out for more anime related content to come to that channel in the future.
Yeah, and if you want to you should listen to how to find out about us in the credits are rolling in a minute.
Yeah,
also, if you want to hear us like gush about who you are when you listen to this episode, definitely give us a shout out on Twitter, because apparently we're super susceptible.
We're pumped about it.
So,
you know, be cool and talk to us on Twitter and tell all your friends, and then we'll tell you how cool you are.
Yeah. Anyways,
it's a good deal.
Blake and Spencer Get Jumped is made by Forever Summer Productions.
With sound editing work done by Rashad English of Plain English Productions. He's our level 4 sound wizard.
Our podcast is ad-free and we want to keep it that way. If you want to help us keep releasing episodes without the use of ads, please consider supporting us on Patreon.
Patrons get exclusive member content as well as unlocking group perks.
Follow us on Twitter at @BandsGetJumped. And like us on Facebook at facebook.com/BlakeAndSpencerGetJumped.
New episodes come out every Sunday on your favorite podcast platform. And if you like the show, please like, subscribe, and review. Reviews help us chart on iTunes.
Next episode in Hunter x Hunter, the super special ingredient is...
Fear!